This is The Listening Post, and I'm your host, Thomas Walsh.
Just taking a look at the number of people who pass away with opiates in their system, that number went from 81 in 2015 to 166 in 2016. What doubles in a year? Nothing doubles in a year. That's a crisis. That's an epidemic.
That's New Orleans coroner Jeffrey Rouse commenting on the surge of drug-related deaths that occurred in Orleans Parish last year. So, how's it impacting you? What are you doing about it? What can be done? That's what we were focused on this month at The Listening Post, and in the studio with me right now is Claudia Lopez.
Hey, hey, hey.
And Natalie Yar.
Hello.
Producers for The Post. Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Let's, before we get started, establish what an opioid is for everyone out there.
An opioid is usually a pain relief drug that works on certain areas of the brain. Opioids really affect those inhibitory neurons in your head. So when you take an opioid, it's stopping you from releasing these GABA neurotransmitters. And in turn, it's letting you release a lot of dopamine, which is going into this reward system. That's where you get that euphoria, that great feeling that isn't going away for a while.
And as Jeffrey Rouse says, these are insanely powerful substances. Oxycontin, fentanyl, heroin, even a new one called carfentanil. Let's hear what he has to say.
These substances attach themselves to the pleasure center in our brain. That's the pleasure center that lights up when you're really, 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 really hungry and you finally get to eat something, or you're really thirsty and you finally drink something, or you fall in love. Now, some people may be more susceptible to addiction, but when you're talking drugs that are this potent, you're talking about drugs that could addict the Pope.
What are people feeling like out there? What's kind of the feeling on the street?
One super interesting and specific response actually came to us from a person who works on the Mississippi coast. They say, I'm a prosecutor in a city court in a small town on the Mississippi coast. 20 folks who have been in court for various minor charges related to their addiction, like shoplifting, prescription forgery, etc., have died in the past 2 years. It's tragic what the corporate distributors of these drugs, including doctors, have allowed to go on in the name of profits.
Now, that's happening along the Mississippi coast. We also spoke with some people over in St. Bernard Parish. Isn't that right, Claudia?
Yeah. So John Antonucci is a counselor over at ACER, which is a treatment clinic for people in recovery.
I had a meeting with the sheriff of St. Bernard Parish a couple weeks ago. He's got a little thing on his phone where he gets notifications of every overdose, every opioid overdose that happens in a given day. And it was about 3:30 in the afternoon, and I think we counted about 20. And that's just in a parish of 40,000 people.
So one response that really caught my eye, and all of our eyes actually here at The Listening Post, was this one response that says, my brother was an opioid addict. Question, why didn't everyone show the same concern during the crack epidemic as they do for opioids? Oh, right, because crack was in black communities and opioids in white communities.
Now, this is a comment that we've heard multiple times throughout this month, right? I've interviewed a few people who mentioned the same thing, but I really liked what the coroner had to say about it.
I see the bodies, I see the cases, I do the statistics. This is a problem that happens on some of the richest streets, and it's a problem that happens in some of the most deprived streets. You know, if you look at our deaths, in 2015, 28% of those overdose deaths were African American. That jumped up to 45%. And so this is an epidemic that really transcends race, transcends class, transcends geography, and is at all levels of society.
As we consider the coroner's response, this issue, opioids, are affecting lots of different communities, and yet it may be the fact that visibly white folks are being affected that has drawn public attention and resources to this issue in a way that the crack epidemic didn't, so as to be fair.
Now, we had our post around the city at the Healing Center downtown. We had one at Core USA uptown on Leonidas and the other down at Alvar Library. But you guys also went to an event to kind of speak to the public directly about some issues. Where'd you go? What'd you see?
We went to the Jefferson Parish Library, and the Louisiana Budget Project held a town hall about healthcare and what will be happening within these next few months as far as when it comes to like a repeal plan and things like that.
Let's hear what people had to say.
Well, I have a friend that does drugs, and I try to get her to stop. And the more I try to help her, the more our friendship ends. So you can try to help people that's on drugs, but it's up to them to change.
Whether it's opioid addiction or cocaine addiction or whatever the addictions are, first of all, we need to have more treatment centers.
Employment, you know, definitely that. Giving people some kind of way to say, like, not hopeless and helpless, because I feel like that's the end of a lot of it.
People from my hometown and my high school passing away, and it feels really prevalent and sad to me. But I think it also is offering an opportunity to reevaluate how we look at drug use.
People feel like there's no opportunities for them, and they find an easy way out by using drugs. For me, I know those people that's suffering from that want to change. They just need help, you know. So you bring the help to them. Ain't nobody gonna go down and help them. You bring the help to them.
The final question we kind of asked people were about solutions, be it for their personal family or for the kind of civic community at large. What information is available to the public?
Overwhelmingly, my perspective is that we're seeing some really innovative solutions and attempts at working on this problem. For example, I heard from Mr. Alfred Marshall with Stand With Dignity about how he's out most mornings helping people get insurance coverage through Obamacare and then helping people get signed up for detox services if they need them, helping them get in that process. We also heard about some needle exchanges where they'll set up an appointment with you and straight up bike out to a place to meet you. Those are the folks at Tri-Stereo, to also folks from the Chenier Health Collective, I believe they're called, organizing a training on preventing and treating overdoses.
Those treatments are for people who actually already have an addiction, but there's a lot of programs out there that are being put forth to kind of prevent people from even getting addicted. Doctors know more information about who they should be prescribing opiates to, when they should be doing it, and how to keep those dosages low so that people don't get addicted to things. So a lot of things, top to bottom, preventative and reactive, to try to help people solve this problem. So that's it for us this month at The Listening Post. You can always participate in our survey by texting the word hello to 504-303-4348 or finding us online at
listeningpostnola.com. And a quicker way to reach us is on our Twitter at LP_NOLA. We'll see you back here next month.
Thanks, guys.